word. God, we thank you, God, that you are the giver of life. And God, we thank you, God, that out of your throne flows a river of life that brings healing, it brings goodness, God, it brings all of your amazing characteristics, it brings life, your very life. And Father, I pray that we would tap into that this morning, tap into your life this morning. And God, we want to honor you with everything that we say and everything we do. And God, give us ears to hear. Let that be your prayer this morning. Give us ears to hear, God, what you would want to say to us. And God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Grow and review. We've been talking about how God wants us to grow in all different kind of areas. And so we talked about that there is a DNA inside of us. We talked about the DNA of a seed. That there is a DNA in the seed for a plant, for we talked about the tree. We talked about the big, gigantic sequoia trees out in California. But they begin with a really small seed. But the seed in that seed is the DNA. Is the DNA for a huge, right? A huge sequoia, right? But it will never come to pass unless that seed is put into the ground, watered, and cared for, right? So just because the DNA of that seed is in there doesn't mean it's going to produce a sequoia. Just because the DNA is in the seed, right, doesn't mean there's going to be a giant sequoia. Just like God put a DNA of purpose and plans and futures and things that God has for you. Just because it's there doesn't necessarily mean that anything will happen to that DNA that's in you. You can live your whole life with purpose and desires and all those kind of things, and they'll never come to pass unless something happens to that seed besides just stay a seed. So we talked about the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's kind of our launching scripture. It was 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 15. It says this, "Do not neglect the gift that was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. But be diligent in these matters." Everybody say diligent. "But give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." So that everyone will see your progress. That means then, if you don't give yourself wholly to those things, then your progress won't be seen by anybody. That DNA or those things can lay in you dormant, and you'll never see the results of those of the seed, of that DNA that's in you, right? So we talked about the number one thing that we're going to grow in our life is in our relationship with God. It has to be the number one thing that you grow in as a believer. Is your number one way that you grow is in your relationship with God. Because He is the source. He is the source of life. He is the source of everything that will give that DNA in you. He's the source of everything that will give you the life that God has for you. Right? And so, it's God. Everybody say God.
God.
It's God that is the source. And as you spend time with Him, and as you give yourself wholly to your relationship with Him, the life of God comes. Amen? Amen. That was the air conditioner shutting off, saying amen. But we also talked about, in one of the other weeks, we talked about that you do have an enemy. You have an enemy of your growth. John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And have it to the full, right? Jesus came to give life. Came to give life. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be on alert and of sober mind. Your enemy," everybody say your enemy. Get focused again. "Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And that someone is you. He is seeking to devour the life. So if you put this all together, right, we have an enemy that's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But we also have God who's trying His best to give life to you. He's trying to give His life to you. He's trying to give the source of who He is. So is it any wonder why it's so hard to come to church? Is it any wonder why it's so hard to spend time with God? Because you have an enemy that wants to take that life and keep you from the very life. Because if he knows that if you're connected to the life, then he's in trouble. Then he'll lose his grip on you. Right? So that should encourage you. So why is it so hard to pray? Because the DNA of life that is in you, that the enemy wants to steal out of you. He'll use all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. That's the other message. So anyway. But Jesus said he came to bring life. He came to bring life or vitality, right? We talked about, then we did like a panel of discussion. Remember the panel discussion? Of how different people, and they all had different ideas of how they spent time with God and what that looked like for their own lives. But we also said this in Ezekiel 47. We saw the vision from Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw a vision, and the vision was that the water, that the little bit of water trickled out of the very presence of God in the temple. It came, the water came out of the temple, and as it went downstream, as it were, it got deeper and deeper, right? And as it flowed into the Dead Sea, you know the Dead Sea is full of salt, right? So as it flowed into the Dead Sea, it turned the salty water fresh. And all along that desert region, we talked about it, all along that desert region, it began to bring life. It began to, oh man, I'm starting to get some revelation about that. Anyway, that's not the right time right now. Oh my goodness. But it started to bring life. You know why? Because there were seeds in there. There were seeds already in there. So that when the water flowed over that, right? So as the water flowed over there, those seeds ignited, right? So there's seeds in you. And if you allow the river of God to flow out of His, what? Out of His presence into you, then the life in that seed will germinate and it will start to see life that comes to that seed. Visions that were once dead, they'll come back to life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, don't you love the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it like this, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your own belly. It's in you, right? That's so good. But then we also said in Galatians chapter 6, and Jesus said that what that river that he's talking about, he spoke of the Spirit of God. But then Galatians adds to that. Paul says this, whoever sows to please their flesh will of their flesh reap what? Destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal what? Life. So it's our choice. So the question is, what are we sowing to? Are we sowing to our spirit? Or are we sowing to our flesh? You know, you can have a gigantic, if all you do, listen, if all we do as believers is sow to our flesh, what do I want? What do I want to do? What do I want to do right now? What do I want to spend? What do I want to spend my time doing? If all you do is that, you will become a giant flesh monster.
Yeah, right.
And your spirit will be going, remember me? The little voice, help. I'm being overcome by the flesh monster. And God's saying, I'm trying to get life to you. If you would only do it my way, if you would only do it the way I've called you to do it, if you would only do it God's way, you would receive the very life of God on the inside of you.
Yeah.
But our flesh, man. Our flesh gets us in so much trouble. That's not my message this morning. So today, I want to continue on with this idea that God causes growth. You want growth? It's God will cause growth. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 4. Actually, this will not be up on the screen. We'll pick it up in a minute. But I want to give you some context. He says, brothers and sisters, that's us, right? God is talking to us. But maybe some of you, as we'll bring context to this. I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but people who are still worldly. Let that land wherever it needs to land this morning. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk and not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly or flesh-driven. It's getting quiet again here. You really like that whole life thing, right? You're all about that. But since there is just, this brings life, right? Correction and God's dealing with us brings life. Amen.
That's right.
For since there is jealousy and quarreling, notice that he says you are still worldly, and he defines what that worldly looks like. He says, for there is jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you still not worldly? Are you still not acting? Are you still acting, not acting like mere humans? God's called us to a higher place than just mere humans. For one says, I follow Paul. Others say, I follow Apollos. Or I follow Stephen Furtick. Or I go to this church. Are you still acting like human beings? All right, let's pick up here in the scripture on the screen. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. After all, what, after all, is Apollos? Or what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As God has assigned each one his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but watch this, God has been making it grow. It's God who has been making it grow, so that neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It is God who makes things grow. Say, it's God who makes things grow. We can do all the work we want, but we need to realize that it's God that causes this growth. It's going to be God that causes the growth in you. Self-sufficiency is the enemy of supernatural growth. You want to experience supernatural growth? Cling to Jesus. Thank you, Jordan. Cling to Jesus. Because he's the author of life. He's the giver of life. Self-sufficiency is the enemy of growth. We said last week that God wants to cut you off from the life-giving river of God. He does it by, we talked about this in the parables, right? In the parable of the sower, right? He does this by distraction. He does this by busyness. So the enemy wants to cut you off from the life of God. So where is that place that we tap into, that we actually tap into the river, or we tap into the life of God, or we allow the seed, however we want to say it, we allow the seed to germinate that goes into the ground. It's not scattered along the rocks, right, or on the path, but we allow that seed to go in us. Where is that place? That place is nowhere else but prayer. It's prayer. It's nowhere else but prayer. Yeah, and there's parts of prayer and worship and all that and corporate worship. But I want to read, these are not going to be on the screen, so I'm going to fly through these. Listen to these people of God that we admire in the Word, that we look up to. We say, man, that was a man of God. Is it any reason why they're a man of God? I'm going to read the man or woman of God as I read these scriptures. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, they were on a journey and they were approaching the city, and Peter went up on the roof to pray. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then Jesus with his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Very early in the morning. Everybody say very early. Very early in the morning. Ouch. While it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, talking about Daniel. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home. It was upstairs room where his window opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And it repeats it in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 13. Then they said to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. He paid no attention to the king, right? He says, your majesty, or to our decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. At about midnight, to all you late nighters, here we go. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were there listening to them. Acts chapter 26 and verse 29, it says, Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all those who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. He says, prayer, prayer, prayer. And in Exodus chapter 33, one of my favorite passages of the scripture, this is a great place of this is a scripture that began really my prayer journey, was this scripture in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 9. Listen to this. It says, and Moses went up to the tent. Went up into the tent, and the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each one at the entrance of their own tent. And listen to this. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And the Bible says that we have a better covenant than any of those guys in the Old Testament. Because we have the Holy Spirit. God can speak to you as a face-to-face, as a man speaks, or as a brother or sister speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. And it's interesting, but the young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. There's a place in prayer. There's a place in prayer where you meet with God. And it's the power source for your life is in prayer. Is it any wonder why the enemy fights you so much for it? Is it any wonder why the enemy puts so many things in our lives to distract us and pull us away? The very thing that God that we need is prayer. Our own prayer life. And this is what we've been talking about for this whole month. Listen to this. Jesus says, this is an ouch, so hold on. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus said, but when you pray, not if. Jesus makes this wild assumption. He makes this wild assumption that, hey, we're all going to pray. So when you pray, that's the assumption that Jesus has, that when we pray. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, could it be that why we don't see the things we are wanting to see is because the body of Christ as a whole, I mean other churches, right, not this church. Could it be we're not seeing what we believe in God for in our nation, in our world, the world around us? The effectiveness on the inside of us is because we're not people of prayer. Because what is done in the unseen, God will show in the seen, right? As you pray, listen, as you pray in the secret place with you and God, and maybe a Bethel worship CD, with you and God, is it any wonder? Like you see all these great people in the Word of God. Powerful. Could it be because they were people of prayer? Could it be that we don't see what we think we should see because we're not really people of prayer? That's not okay with me. That's not okay with me. It's not okay that Jesus assumes that we're going to pray and we just, there's other things. Watch this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this is my prayer. This is Paul speaking. That your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and deep insight. That you may be able to discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through what? Jesus Christ. To the praise and glory of God. He says you're going to get a download. Paul says my heart is that you will receive a download. That you're going to be filled with the fruit, right? Of righteousness. That you'll be filled. How do you do that? Through prayer. Through study. Through personal time with God. Yeah, during corporate worship. Yeah, during on a Sunday morning. But it's on a daily basis that you can be filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus? To the glory and praise of God. That your life would now become the praise and glory of our God. That you would live a life through your prayer, own personal prayer time. Where Jesus, as you seek Him in the private, He will honor you in the public. What is He going to do? He's going to give you that honor, but what are you going to do with it? You're going to give praise and glory back to God. He gives you the glory. He honors you, and then you give it back to Him. And your life is nothing but you just express God's glory everywhere you go. Right? It happens through people who spend time with God. It was said that John Wesley said that he goes, I spend time with God. And when I spend time with God, He sets me on fire. And then when I go out, people come and watch me burn. In the private, he sets me on fire, and then people come and watch me burn. That should be the cry of every believer. Yes. That God, in my quiet place, God, set me ablaze, God. God, I got this stuff going on. Maybe I got this sin going on. God, purify my heart. Make it right with me, God. Do something in my life in the private, God. And then when I step out, God, use me to point other people to you. Yes. We, like Julie said, to know him and make him known. That's our goal. How do you know him? You know him in the secret place. You know him in the quiet place. You know him when God comes and that pillar of cloud descends in your bedroom. And it descends on you. And God speaks to you face to face. Or you're reading the word. And all of a sudden those words just jump out at you. And you go, that's for me. That's for me. God, you're speaking to me. That God would be glorified. Glorified, it just has to do with the idea of bringing fame and recognition. To show off his splendor. That God, I'm going to show off God's splendor to the world. Because of the fruits of righteousness that are built on the inside of me. There's so many ways the scripture, the Bible teaches this. Jesus talks about, you are a city on a hill. Right? You're a lamp that shines throughout the whole house. That all of a sudden, man, I don't want to get into my next series, but then we start thinking like Jesus. And then you go off into a world who's broken and hurting, and Jesus walks to the woman who's caught in the very act of adultery and looks at what the world needs. The world needs Jesus' love. It needs the church to be representatives of Jesus. What did Jesus do with a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery? He offered her forgiveness and restoration. And he said, go and sin no more. What did he do? He offered her restoration. He offered her forgiveness. What does our world need? It doesn't need another judgment. It needs an offering of forgiveness and restoration. If people reject it, that's up to them, right? But what should the church be around doing? Loving people. Because why? Because I've spent time in the secret place with God, and God is love. So when God himself comes and manifests himself or speaks to me and or changing me day after day in the secret place, he's changing me from glory to glory. What is that glory? The love of God. That people will know us by the way we love. Right? Because we're changed in the secret place. Because God has poured his love out on us. One of the greatest scenes in the Bible is the woman at the well. Here's this woman who's broken. Right? She's obviously, I mean, we can bash her. She's like been married like 5 different times to 5 different men. You know, what a blank. Right? Or we can say, she's broken. What have some of these men done to her? Like, what has she gone through in her life? Just because she's drawn into this life, what wounds, what things are going on in her life? And then Jesus comes and said, listen, I got this life that if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And so Jesus reaches out his hand of love and compassion to a woman that most Jews people then would call unclean. And Jesus reaches out to her and shows her love and compassion. So what does she do? What does she do? She goes and runs and shares it with everybody. Come and see. Come and see. Come and listen. I've seen someone who told me everything about me. And he still loved me. Right? He showed me everything about me. And she goes and she shares it with everybody. So much so that Jesus is like, I guess we're staying here. Uh-uh. I guess we're going to teach for a while here. Right? Because what happened to her? She was changed in a moment with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, she has been greatly loved. And so what does she do? She's full of the love of God. She's full of the forgiveness. She's full of, God, there's hope. Right? City set upon a hill. The leper that Jesus walks up to. And everybody, don't touch him. Don't touch him. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. Because of the love of God. See, Jesus came to bring his kingdom. And that's what his kingdom is all about. So Jesus has put that, now he spread himself to everybody through the Holy Spirit. And so now you have that power. You have that kingdom in you. The Holy Spirit who lives in you. And so that means ministry in your workplace. Ministry I was going to say street corner. We don't do that anymore. Ministry like wherever you go. Like, you carry the image of God. You carry the presence of God, the kingdom of God, through love and peace. And the more time you spend in that secret place, the more of God that you'll have, and the more of God's presence, and the more you'll understand, and you'll have the knowledge, your eyes will be opened, that you'll see clearer and clearer and clearer the love of God is put in you. And so you can go and show a world. Because our world... Can we just stop pointing our finger and just, can we just look at a world that's been ravished by sin and destruction and flesh? The Bible says the flesh, the works of the flesh. I mean, do we have to even say like our world is full of flesh monsters? It's all about flesh, right? Doing what I want to do. It's all about me, right? But then a believer comes along and he brings light into that place, into that darkness. Hey, there's a different way to live. And it's full of light. He says, Jesus said, when you pray, God will reward you openly. How will that look? It'll look like levels of anointing. It'll look like levels of God's presence in your life. Says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went around doing good. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That anointing was to administer to other people. Isn't it interesting? I thought about this the other day when Julie and I were talking about fasting. You know the scripture where it talks about, he says, these kind, talking about the demonic. Why, Jesus, why couldn't we cast out this demonic? He said, these kind only come through prayer and fasting. You know what's interesting about that scripture? That you do fasting, not for yourself in that case, right? You do fasting for others. What a selfless act to lay down your life and whatever that thing is so God will fill you with the anointing to go administer it to somebody else. That's such a picture of prayer. That's such a picture of our walk with God. You see, in prayer is where we encounter the power of God. It's where we get changed into his image. It's where we get to know him. And all of this stuff that we've ever been taught, it's all about knowing him. You can be set free from bondages. But unless you go deep, let me say it this way, unless you go deep in your experience with God, you can have as much, my wife says it all the time, you're as close to God as you choose to be. And as the more of you want of God, and listen, what we need is more of God. What you need is more awareness, more your eyes open to understand more and more who you are in Jesus. More and more, like how do I get to know God? Listen, you can confess all you want. Listen, Jesus said like this. He said, have faith in God. Don't have faith in your confession. Don't have faith in your faith. You have faith in God. How? It's going to come out through your confession. It's going to come out in what you do. It's going to come out in different ways that you change your lifestyle and change what you are. But you need to have faith in God. So many times we try to believe God and we don't even know Him. We got to know Him, know Him, know Him, know Him. And then you can have faith in Him. It's in the knowing. It's in the knowing. You have faith in your faith. You see how sometimes, you know, some of you guys, I was going to say you're blessed enough not to grow up in the charismatic field, but you're blessed enough, right? You never grew up in this. So these are new, like, but some of us who grew up in this whole charismatic ideas, we've been talked about the principles of faith. We've talked about the way faith works, and those are all true. But if they're not undergirded with faith in God, then you're just religious mumbo jumbo stuff. Everything with, Paul said like this, with everything that's without faith is sin. It's through faith in God. In God. How do you know Him? In the secret place. Yes. That you get to know Him privately. And then your faith is stirred. Man, God showed me something. Oh my gosh. When God speaks to you something in the secret place, nobody can take it out of you. It's in me. Right? It's in me. Not because I heard it in a sermon, which is good. Listen to my sermons. But self-serving. But let me say, you know, sometimes what you hear in a secret place, somebody like me will come along and acknowledge it from the pulpit. And you'll go, okay, God, I got it. I got it. I got it. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
Not faith in faith. So this year for your, I was going to ask, so how are we doing on our New Year's resolutions? Like, yeah, it's about not going so well right about now. What if we switched it? And those goals, pick them. Those goals, those things that you wanted to accomplish, those things that you want, what if you made your goal? What if you made Him your resolution? And knowing Him empowered the rest. That as I know Him, it gives me power. Or maybe God will speak to you and go, you know that thing that you're so worried about? It? I'm not really worried about that right now. This is what I'm worried about. Yeah. This is what I'm concerned about. Let's work on this.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we can deal with that other thing later.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's deal with this. Because I'm more concerned about your unforgiveness than I am about that you smoke cigarettes. Come on. And God speaks to you in that quiet place and go, oh, now, God, we're co-laborers right now. Now we're working together. Yes. Now it's God that you're going to, you spoke to me that. God, if you speak to me, God, that means every word is going to come to pass. Like, you're going to work that out in me.
Yes, that's right.
That now you're working with me in this area. I'm not working against you. God, now I'm working in your flow.
Yes.
Because I've made Him my goal. I'll share this. This is fresh. Can I just give you something fresh for me? So we're working on living this out, so let's just be honest, right? So this year, personally, my word for myself is dependent. Because God's calling me to be more dependent on Him. I know, you're like a pastor. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, okay, holy man. Listen. Yeah, you self, I mean, you know, we're all self-sufficient. Come on, right? I mean, not, maybe it's not some of you. You just haven't been figured it out yet. You're a little bit more than you think. But we're all a little bit self-sufficient, right? So it's dependent. And so, you know what? You know what I want, being self-sufficient? I want control. I want control. I want to control. Yeah, it's landing. I see this. What I want is control. I want to control like things around me. I want a like nice, neat little thing. I don't want anything outside of what I can't control. No. Everybody come in here and let me control. Like just control. Like, wow, y'all, like, this is the last time I come. This pastor's control freak. You can do that, or you can just, you know, come to a church where the pastor's honest. So I just want control because listen, it's safe. If I can control it, it's safe. I got my. You know what that is? Exhausting. Putting everything around. And you know what? This I can't take this for my own. This is John Eldridge. Careful what you watch. Like this is, I was watching John Eldridge like late at night last night. And then God starts messing with me. Like, you know. You know what I want? I want a nice little plan. I want a plan. Just, God, if you just give me a plan, give me a plan and I'll work the plan. God, if you just show me what your plan is, I'll do it. I'll work it. I'm not looking at anybody except me. This is with me. I'm just interviewing. If y'all want to take it, whatever. I'm just talking about me. I don't know what about y'all. So he said, I just want a plan. God, if you just give me a plan, how about this? For the church. Like, if you just give me a plan for a new building, then just show it to me and I'll do it. I'll do whatever. Right? That's where our hearts are, right? God, I'll do. If you show it, make it clear, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know what John Eldridge said to that? He crushed that. It's a jerk. What, like... That's my comfort zone. John Eldridge says it like this. He says, if God just gave you the whole plan, you know what you would do? You would just go. No, you just don't do it. Do it. Like most of you, if God gave you the specific, this is what you do next, this is what you do, this, there you go. Do it. There's your journey. You would do that journey, and then you would only check in on God every once in a while. And this is what he said that rocked my world, and I'm going to just, you too. God doesn't give you the whole plan. You know what he gives you? He gives you a father. He gives you a father. That step by step, you walk with God. He don't give you the whole plan. Don't that make you mad? I want the whole plan. God says, no, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light, but it's right here where I'm walking. Because he wants you to walk with him. He wants you to walk with him. How do you walk with him? In the secret place. How do you get to know the Father? In the secret place. Jesus is always, I'm getting ahead of myself in the next series, Jesus is always pointing to who? The Father. Don't worry about all the stuff that you need. Don't worry about everything. The Father will give it to you. He doesn't give you a whole plan. What God gives you is himself as a father. Now that lands differently on different people in this room. But we're talking about a good father. We're talking about a father who loves you and is for you and is willing to walk with you through all of it. A good father. And you find him in the secret place when you get to know him. You know how to grow? You want to grow this year? Grow in your relationship with God. Number one. It'll be this year's New Year's resolution, and it'll probably be next year's resolution, and then the year after that, and then the year after that, and then the year after that, because God will continue to give you more and more and more and more, and all of a sudden you'll be in the middle of your coworker, and your coworker comes up to you, and it tells you all this stuff that's going on, and before you know it, you just have grabbed their hands, and you've just started praying before you can even think about what's going on. Like, I'm holding this person's hand right now at my work, and all you know to do is just bow your head and just start praying. Because God has so changed you. What we need is more of God. What we need is more of him. What we need is learn how to worship God and spend time with him in the secret place and to get to know him in the secret place. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come back up. But just as they come, let me just say this. Even through the quote-unquote dry times where you feel like nothing's going on, I was reading this book, Simple Devotion, and they talked about the dry time. I don't know anybody. Like, let me just say, everybody has dry prayer times. Can we just say it out loud?
Yes.
Everybody does. But you know what you're doing? Planting seed.
Right.
You're planting seed. And you know what happens? One time, there'll be a flood of God's presence, and then the water will come. And all those seeds that you planted in the dry dirt, all that water comes flushing down and brings life to those seeds. And those times that you sown in the secret place when it was dry and when nothing feels like it was changing and you go, am I doing anything? God, you're planting. He said, you're planting seed.
Yeah.
He said, the rain's coming. The rain's coming. Those CNA, the DNA, I was going to say seed and then DNA. The DNA that was in that ground or on that dirt, right? God's rain comes and it floods and it brings life to those seeds that you've planted when it was hard, when it was planted when you didn't want to do it. But God is faithful. Let's all stand together. Grow, 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 grow. It's God who brings growth. It's God who brings growth. It's God. You want discipline? It's God who brings the growth. It's God. It's God. Are you going to have some discipline? 100%. It's in the word disciple. It's part of the word. But it's good. It's rewarding. So Jesus, come on, come on. What's God speaking to you? Come on. What is God speaking to you right now? What is God speaking to you right now? Right now, right now. Right now. What is God speaking to you right now? Go with it. Some of you are in this place, God says, He says, you know what? You don't really know me. God says, God, you feel that drawing to God to know Him. Some of you have been sowing. You feel like you've been sowing and sowing and sowing just to nothing. What is God speaking about those seeds that you've sown? Right there, where you're at. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get weirded out by this, but how many of you right now where you're at, you said, yeah, God just spoke to me something. It could be little, big, whatever. Just keep your eyes closed. You say, feel like, yeah. Let me just encourage you, go with that. Go with that. Don't let this be, write it down. Write it down. Don't forget. Now, others of you said, man, I don't really feel anything. Just keep at it, right? Just keep seeking. The promise is, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. God says. So God, we thank you. We thank you. Just right where you're at, just turn your heart and your attention towards God. Your maker, the one who loves you more than anybody, the one who gets you, the one who understands you, the one who understands fully your troubles and fully your difficulties and fully your insecurities and fully that you don't feel loved and don't feel appreciated, the one who fully knows and loves you right where you're at. And the call is, come to me, all you who are weary. And the promise is, I'll give you rest. Because He's life. He's life. Jesus.